I love the Young Turks. Jake Uger, Anika Sparin with you on a lovely day in America. We've got a lot of news for you guys. I hear some folks are making news today, that includes the Trump administration, Democrats, and Google. So we will address outside news today, which is what we do on a normal day. Some Democrats are looking to ride to the rescue for Trump on helping him cut taxes. We will discuss that a little bit later in the show. Fire and fury on that. Trump on North Korea and the war he's going to get us into is going to come up in just a second for you guys. And then in the second hour, we have amazing stories. The Google manifesto is fascinating. Our opinions on that might surprise you a little bit. So that is very controversial, but very interesting. Mm-hmm. And also, a fight between a fitness expert and a body.
A full size model.
That also has a ton of implications. And I'm not sure who's right there either. Mm. Ooh, drums, lots of drums on the show. My God, this show is filled with drums.
Yes, it is.
Okay, speaking of which, World War III, start with that.
Yeah, let's start with that drums, because that impacts every single one of us. All right. Following the United Nations announcement that the UN Security Council would roll out a new set of sanctions against North Korea and its missiles program, of course, Kim Jong-un had some strong words against the United States and those who have pushed for the sanctions. So Korean Central News Agency, which is the state-owned news agency in North Korea, released a statement in regard to the sanctions and said the following: packs of wolves are coming in attack to strangle a nation. They should be mindful that the DPRK's strategic steps accompanied by physical action will be taken mercilessly with the mobilization of all its national strength. To summarize, we're gonna go after the people who have pushed for the sanctions. We want retaliation. Now, this isn't any different from what North Korea typically does. They have released a number of statements that have been threatening and violent against the United States. However, what is different about this story is the way leadership in the United States has responded to it. And we'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah, just one quick note. It is slightly different, slightly, in that North Korea is in that statement threatening quote unquote physical action. Now, the things about the wolves are coming and wolf-pack.com get money out of politics, normal, probably not what they're referring to there. They're always going to be merciless against us. That kind of over-the-top statements are very normal for North Korean leadership. We like to think that our leadership is a little bit more stable, but oh well. But the reference to physical action is a little bit more aggressive. But I would hope that we would be measured in our response so we don't accidentally trigger a cataclysmic war. But that leads us to Donald Trump.
Exactly. So Donald Trump was asked about the statement released by North Korea, and his reaction to it was not measured. Take a look for yourselves.
Thank you.
Any comment on the report about North Korea's nuclear
capabilities? North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before. Thank you.
Thank you.
What are you doing, man? Jesus Christ. So if you had a smart guy in power, even a guy that I massively disagree with, like Dick Cheney, okay, and he was making threats, well, I'd be concerned because he's carried out his threats before, but you know that he put some thought into it and that he has a strategy. Maybe the strategy is to push you in a war, maybe it's to get some sort of, you know, a bargaining chip. But a guy's got a strategy. With Trump, you don't know. So you don't know if he's just being a clown and being like, ha, I will show you. Or is he actually threatening nuclear war? Because fire and fury like the world has never seen before. Well, we've seen nuclear bombs.
That's right.
And our nuclear bombs today are much more forceful and more powerful. So if you're taking him literally, and I know the White House always says, remember the president's an idiot and you should never take him literally. But if you're taking him literally, that means using our new modern nukes against North Korea. And that's insane. So that could push us into a war, again, that I've been warning about from day one. I said the number one threat with Trump in office is the conflict in North Korea. His incompetence could accidentally trigger a war that could cost hundreds of thousands of lives, possibly millions of lives.
Right, we're talking about, you know, innocent civilians who are unfortunately under a dictatorial, crazy government.
And we're referring to North Korea there, but not the US, but almost.
That's a good point. But yes, so I mean, obviously one of the reasons why we haven't engaged in that type of war with North Korea is because of a number of different ramifications. It's not just the fact that all sorts of innocent civilians will die as a result of, you know, military action, nuclear action against the country. But then there's the issue of South Korea. There's the issue of Japan. How is it going to impact those countries as well? I mean, this is obviously a very complicated issue that requires foreign policy strategy that someone like Donald Trump doesn't seem to be educated on. And so for those who listen to his statements and think, oh yeah, it sounds great on the surface level. Yeah, I guess tough talk sounds great. But we're talking about, you know, what I would argue is an irrational actor with Kim Jong-un. We're talking about, you know, them developing missiles that could certainly already hurt, kill innocent individuals. I just think Donald Trump is not measured. He refuses intelligence briefings. He's not even an intellectually curious person who would want to learn about all the nuances of this issue. And he just speaks off the cuff. And maybe that's okay during a presidential campaign, but it's not okay when we're talking about nuclear war and we're talking about, you know, people's lives at risk.
Okay, so there are only a couple possibilities as to why he would say this. Okay, one is, as Anna pointed out there, to sound tough. Maybe it sounded like somebody told him to say those exact words. That's why he repeated it a couple of times. Could be a Steve Bannon thing where he's like, oh, this will appeal to your base. You'll seem so tough and strong if you use the words fire and fury and power that the world has never seen before. So, but if you're doing that, you're doing that for internal political reasons, maybe to improve your poll numbers. But remember, there's a madman also on the other side. And you don't know what that's going to trigger in him. And now there are reports, which probably Donald Trump has never seen because he doesn't care to find out facts, that North Korean leadership is scared to death of what happened to Gaddafi. And they think if we don't have nuclear weapons, Gaddafi gave up his nuclear weapons and that left him defenseless. And so at some point the US and the West turned on him and he wound up being lynched in the streets. So they have that fear. When you say we are going to strike you, well, then you stoke that fear up, and God knows what Kim Jong-un and his generals will do. So it might be for political reasons, which is you're playing with fire, literally in this case. It might be because you think, oh, we'll just nuke him, what's the big deal? Oh my God. I mean, even if North Korea did not retaliate, somehow our nukes wiped them out completely, and none of them could launch any of their missiles and kill people in South Korea with great ease. I mean, and Lindsey Graham, that monster, the Republican senator from South Carolina, says, no, we'd be taking the fight over there. At least people wouldn't die here. So flippant with the lives of South Korean and Japanese civilians that it's grotesque. It's inhumane. But even if that didn't happen, we would nuke innocent North Korean citizens? What, how many of them? Hundreds of thousands would die? Millions would die? And they're basically held captive by the dictators who run North Korea. It's almost the entire country is a concentration camp. And you're going to nuke the camp? You know, you're going to destroy the village to save the village? You're going to destroy the country to save the country? So there are no good responses here. And look, North Korea is an incredibly, I know Trump didn't know this and recently discovered it, but it's a complicated issue. And yes, you have to apply pressure to China and Russia. Yes, the recent sanctions, I think, are a good idea. And boy, that's a tough call. Because yes, they also have a destabilizing effect. And I understand that. And it also punishes the civilians. But you can tell from the reaction of the government that they are deeply concerned about those sanctions. And so at least that is a lever we can use to actually get them to comply without going to war. So let the sanctions do their work, put more pressure on China, put more pressure on Russia, because that has a chance of working. But if you go in there talking about weapons the world has never seen before and fire and fury, you're going to start a war. And to all of you, look, who voted against Hillary Clinton during the general election because you were afraid that she was going to lead us to war, what happened now? Okay? So look, I was for Bernie Sanders. I didn't want any of the warmongers. I didn't want any of the establishment guys, whether they're deep state or whatever the hell you want to call them. But you thought, no, Trump won't start a war? What kind of a, sorry, but you were dead wrong. I'm worried that that might be literal now.
One thing that I'm actually concerned about is time and time again, not just in the United States, but other countries as well. When you have a leader who is unpopular, one of the tactics that they use to garner up support is engaging in war, fear-mongering, and then engaging in war, and then claiming that they are protecting national security. And I'm very concerned that Donald Trump sees his approval ratings, and he is going to use something like this conflict with North Korea as a way of garnering support. It's worrisome to say the least. And again, I mean, Netanyahu has done it. Our presidents have done it. Look at Bush. I mean, that's what happened with Bush after 9/11. And people voted him into office during for his second term.
I don't think there's much like thought process behind it. Because this was a press conference or a photo op about the opioid fight. And he sat back. That's why I clued that first part. He sat back and the reporter shouted out questions. All she asked him was, what do you think about the latest about the North Korea's nuclear arsenal and what they said they can do? So it had nothing to do with what he was sitting down there for. This wasn't a plan. It wasn't a political scheme to be like, let's use fire and fury and overwhelming power today. They may have said that in meetings before, so definitely the words were said to him to hype him up, because as we're going to talk about, he has to get hyped up every day. And he's like, oh, I'll answer that question, because I just heard how I'm so hyped up now, I'm a badass. And he answered it off the cuff, because that's just what he thinks the limit of the world is. The descriptions you went through, Cenk, without where it can go and what it could be and this effect and that push and that pull, none of that ever crossed his mind. He's just going, we're in the United States of America, we have overwhelming force and power and fire and fury. That's all I have to say, and they're going to respect me. That's all he thinks.
And that's exactly what I'm worried about. It is a combination of incompetence and hubris. Mm-hmm. Now to go back to the election for a second, kind of like Hillary Clinton's campaign, incompetence matched only by their hubris. And here's Trump thinking, man, I keep getting bankrupted, I keep getting bailed out. And I ran a disastrous campaign and I got bailed out by someone who was even worse than me. So I'm untouchable, I'm a genius, this has all worked out for me. So what am I gonna do? What do we have the nukes for? He said that in the past. Yeah. He said, what do we have the nukes for? We're not gonna use them. He doesn't think through the consequences of anything. And he thinks, we're America, they're North Korea, we're going to win. What does win mean? I mean, look at what happened in Iraq. We won by deposing Saddam Hussein and then invited a gigantic, colossal nightmare that then killed so many of our troops, so many Iraqi civilians, destabilized the Middle East, created ISIS, and Iraq does not have as many weapons as North Korea does. And they were not as entrenched and they were not as near civilian populations like Seoul, South Korea, Tokyo, Japan, etc. This guy, we got to get him off out of office immediately. Immediately. Look, this resistance and all that stuff, it's a lot of patty cakes, okay? Lots of just playing around. No. We got to act right now. This guy's a danger to the whole world. He's going to get all of these people killed. If you were worried about World War III, you were worried about the deep state, you should be doubly worried about Trump. You got to get him out right now. It's time to end this nonsense with like, oh, but we'll help him on tax reform, but we'll kind of fight him on health. No, get him out. Because this guy is going to start a war. And God help people in that region. I don't think North Korea can reach us, although we don't know for sure. And they might not be able to reach us with nukes, but they might be able to reach us with missiles, conventional missiles. God help us all if Trump, this idiot, this arrogant, stupid, incompetent, spoiled child starts that war, because it's going to be fire and fury for all of us. Throw him out of office right the fuck now, okay? I don't know how you're gonna do it, but Mueller, hurry up, we don't have time. Hurry the fuck up. I already know he did a deal with the Russians. It's so fucking obvious. Get in there. I know you should be deliberate. You should take longer. I know these are not normal times. You got to get this fucking man-child out of office before he just gets millions of people killed. I'm not kidding. That's where we are today.
All right. There's another component to the North Korea story that I want to just quickly cover. So let's get to that. Last week, Attorney General Jeff Sessions indicated that the White House will be extremely harsh to anyone who is caught leaking information to the media. And he even threatened that reporters who publish that leaked information could be subpoenaed as a result of their reporting. Well, it was interesting to find today that Donald Trump tweeted a story, a scoop, that was written up by Fox News's Lucas Tomlinson. It was a scoop that was actually leaked to him from a member of the intelligence community. And the headline of the story was, US spy satellites detect North Korea moving anti-ship cruise missiles to patrol boat. So of course, this has to do with the conflict with North Korea. And this was information, classified information, that was not supposed to be leaked to a Fox News reporter. Now, nonetheless, this story was on the front page of Fox News, and Nikki Haley, who is the US ambassador to the United Nations, was on Fox and Friends. She was asked about this report, and take a look at what her reaction was.
Ambassador, on the front page of FoxNews.com right now, there is a story that apparently the intel community has picked up. Anti-ship cruise missiles were being loaded onto a patrol boat or patrol boats in North Korea. What can you tell us about that?
I can't. I can't talk about anything that's classified, and if that's in the newspaper, that's a shame. But I'll
you have no reason to believe that's not accurate, though.
I have no reason to comment on that.
That shouldn't be in the newspaper. Is that another leak, I guess?
You know, it's one of these things. I don't know what's going on, but I will tell you it's incredibly dangerous when things get out into the press like that. You're not only just getting a scoop on something, you're playing with people's lives. Yeah. And this has got to stop. Whatever the leaks are coming from, if somebody thinks they're getting power or fame from it, all you're doing is putting Americans in danger.
So let me be absolutely clear. Again, this was not something that was published in the newspaper. This was something that was published by a Fox News reporter on the front page of FoxNews.com today. And Donald Trump tweeted this classified information prior to Nikki Haley appearing on Fox and Friends. And so, look, I mean, if you, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I mean, I haven't heard any statement from him. I haven't heard any tough talk from officials in regard to this leaked information. I don't know if there's a double standard, if it has to do with Fox News reporting that leaked information. But nonetheless, the lack of communication between the US ambassador to the United Nations and Donald Trump is obviously an issue here. And Donald Trump is the one who decided to retweet or tweet out this classified information on his account. So.
Okay, so let's break this down even further. So first of all, we were told by Donald Trump that anything that's anonymous sources is fake news. This story had nothing but anonymous sources, okay? Second of all, we were told that leaking is like the worst thing in the world by Donald Trump, who then retweeted this leak. It is an absolute undeniable leak. Third of all, this is not a leak about White House machinations and power plays and somebody being called into the office to kill a fly, okay? This is about importance. This is actual intelligence. It doesn't get any more classified than this. This is our enemies are doing this with their missiles, and we know it. Now, notice that the leak is going to Fox News. Mm-hmm. Who is the person who's best connected to Fox News? It is the ultra right wing nationalist inside the White House, Trump, Steve Bannon, etc. So, and notice what Nikki Haley said. Nikki Haley said, if somebody's doing it for their own fame or power, I don't know if she's referring to Steve Bannon, but it sounds like a shot at somebody inside the White House, because they didn't leak it to the New York Times, they didn't leak it to any organization they would consider to be liberal. They leaked it to a friend, and they did it on purpose. And so, okay, you want to investigate leaks? Great, Robert Mueller, let's add this to the list of leaks and that your investigation should be about, because apparently Donald Trump thinks it's the most serious thing in the world, and here he is doing it. These buffoons, this is actual intelligence. Don't leak things that actually could get us into war right now. This is not, hey, our government did something wrong in hindsight, and in a democracy, we should know about that. This is not the Pentagon Papers. It's not even WikiLeaks. It's not the Chelsea Manning Apache helicopter video where our government was lying to us. This is about active intelligence in a military conflict that could lead to war. It doesn't get any worse than this leak. And it's super obvious that the White House is doing it. The president retweeted it. He's putting out that propaganda. He's helping that leak get spread further. So I assume criminal investigations are unfolding as we speak. And if you're a right winger, and for months now you've been saying the leak should be prosecuted, I know that you're chanting right now, lock him up, lock him up. Find out who these leakers are, and we don't have to find out who promoted the leak, because it's Trump. He's actively promoting. And by the way, when asked about this, one of his advisors on TV said, well, I mean, the president can just unilaterally declassify things. Wait, so did he or didn't he? Did he declassify this classified information that's incredibly important? Or did he not declassify it? Which one is it? So is he the leaker? Oh, oops, you're caught on that one. So in case the if he did it, this is how he leaked it, right? What are you, OJ Simpson? So he does the leak, and now they say, well, afterwards we can kind of declassify if we wanted to on Twitter. Does that sound like a good idea to you? So they are wildly hypocritical. But what I care more about is somebody's got to get the president under control on North Korea. I don't know how you can do it. And it might be time for, this is terrible times. This is not how a democracy is supposed to work. But what if he gives the order to the generals to push the button? He said today, fire and fury like the world has never seen. That's what he's going to do to North Korea. And I remember the establishment telling me, oh no, Cenk, you're back then, even as they hated Trump, I get it, right? But they were like, no, you guys are all being hysterical. The generals won't listen to illegal orders. You sure about that? I'm not at all sure about that. And besides which, I don't want the generals not listening to the commander in chief. That's not how our democracy works. That's why we got to get him out. He's a threat to the whole world's safety.
All right, let's take a break so we can all process what just happened, this information that we were just presented. And when we come back, we'll focus a little bit on domestic policy, particularly tax reform, and how some centrist Democrats might be in cahoots with Republicans.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Let me read some tweets for you guys. Addie writes in, North Korea should watch out. Trump's catastrophic approval ratings make him a very dangerous president. Very true in point that Anna was making. Keld Visser writes in, holy shit, he's talking about nuclear war. He's talking about nuclear war. This man is going to kill millions. Dr. Chaos MD writes in, if North Korea launches missiles, Trump will keep us safe by tweeting the missiles out of the sky. Plant-based recipes says, current mood, Cenk Uygur. Now, the funny thing is there that I'm actually ecstatic mood today. Mm-hmm. Like in my personal life, I'm thrilled. But I read that story, man, I was saying it during the break. I can't be angry enough. I can't be worried about this enough. God help those people in South Korea. I mean, I literally would tell people not to go there right now. It's just incredibly scary. Last one, Mike Youngblood says, I dislike Clinton deleting her emails, but she didn't publicly release classified info like Bannon or another Trump goon. Yeah, if she did that stuff, like we know that she endangered the information by transferring it to her private server. So endangering it is bad. Purposely leaking it is way worse. So let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, what's next?
All right. Lawmakers are planning on focusing specifically on tax overhaul or tax reform. And Republicans in Congress realize that in order to be successful, they probably have to appeal to some Democrats. So there is a strategy in place. And if you are angry at establishment Democrats, this story will probably infuriate you even more. Now, White House officials have been wooing 15 to 20 centrist House Democrats since early summer. That's according to reporting reporting by Politico, and they have some specific names that I will share with you in just a minute. Now, keep in mind that at a mid-June dinner at the White House with four centrist House Democrats, President Donald Trump expressed interest in a bipartisan package combining tax reform with infrastructure spending, and that's according to multiple sources that spoke to Politico. And so there are two organizations that Republican lawmakers and White House officials are specifically focusing on. It's the Blue Dog Coalition, these are the centrist Democrats, Blue Dog Democrats, and also the Problem Solvers Caucus, which also consists of individuals who don't really solve problems. Again, they're centrist Democrats. Now, Mark Short, who is the White House Director of Legislative Affairs, says, "We'd prefer bipartisan support for the tax plan. We still think we can earn the support of Democrats on the tax package." Now, keep in mind, look, I'm not against working together, you know, negotiating, debating, figuring out which policies make the most sense for the American people. But these are specifically Democrats who are in favor of further tax cuts for the top 1%. And so that's the issue here, right? And Republicans know, hey, we didn't have much success when it came to repealing the Affordable Care Act because we didn't get any of the Democrats on board. But when it comes to wealthy donors, well, we can probably get some Democrats to work with us on tax breaks for the wealthy.
So look, are we against working together? No, of course it depends on the issue. So for example, if you're talking about infrastructure spending, and I thought that it was a smart populist idea by Steve Bannon to talk about spending $1 trillion on infrastructure. And it's not just a smart political idea, it's a great idea in reality because it would create jobs and it would give us better infrastructure and it would stimulate the economy, etc. But, and here comes some huge buts. You dive into the plan of infrastructure spending that the Trump administration is proposing, and you go, oh, they're privatizing the roads. Mm-hmm. It's not just to, it's not, we're not paying in taxes and then we get better roads, but which is good. That's what taxes should go to, better roads, better bridges, make sure they don't fall down. Plus, it creates jobs. No, it gets privately financed, and then we have to pay tolls on those roads forever, and they're going to make a profit off of that. So if you say, oh, I don't want more taxes to make sure the bridges don't fall down, well, you're gonna get taxed more because they gotta make a profit on top.
That's right.
So no, I don't agree to that plan, and so that's a terrible plan. The devil in this case, maybe literally, is in the details. Now that's the better side of the plan. The hideous side of the plan is giant tax giveaways for the rich and for corporations. They call it tax reform. That is a lie. So let me break down three different things words that are used here that are not true. Tax reform would entail potentially raising taxes. Reform doesn't mean cutting or raising. Theoretically, that word doesn't mean it, right? Is there any chance that Donald Trump and the Republicans are going to raise taxes on the rich and corporations? No, there is a 0% chance. So it is not tax reform. And by the way, journalists, be honest about what it is. Don't listen to their propaganda. It's tax cuts, and you know it. And by the way, the Republicans have now publicly said that it is not going to be revenue neutral. So there's no excuse left. It's tax cuts, call it by its name. Second of all, the Problem Solver Caucus, the only problems that they solve is for their own donors. So they're not trying to solve problems for the middle class. How does yet another tax cut for rich and for multinational corporations help anybody in the country? I know, trickle down nonsense. We've been doing that for 40 years and it's destroyed our wages, okay? And then thirdly, they are not centrist Democrats. They might be centrist in Washington, where the spectrum is insanely right wing, but I don't say this because I'm a progressive and I don't say it from my gut. I say it based on polling. 63% of Americans want to raise taxes on the rich. 67% of Americans want to raise taxes on corporations. They don't want to cut them. If you hear that in Washington, you're hearing propaganda that is paid for lies. So by the way, if you're a so-called reporter and you're talking about what the American people want, or what a Republican said this, centrist Democrats said that, who gives a damn what they said? What's the reality? And the reality is Americans don't want this, they want the opposite. And those Blue Dog Democrats are gonna go and serve up these tax cuts for their donor friends. So let's give names, let's name names. Representative Josh Gottheimer, Democrat of New Jersey. In New Jersey, He should be fired immediately by his voters. They should ride him out of town. But you're going to give more tax cuts to the wealthiest people in America? You're going to pull a Chris Christie in New Jersey? He should be primaried and ridden out of town. Okay, Representative Kurt Schrader, Democrat of Oregon, so-called Democrat of Oregon. In Oregon,
he says the following. He says the door is open and this should be a bipartisan issue. I hope they consider us.
Oh, look at this. My God, in Oregon, you got a guy who's going as a Democrat. I hope Trump considers us. Oh, please consider us. I want to cut taxes on my donors too. Please, please consider us. You got to get him out. Get him out. Yeah. Get him out. Get him out.
Well, look. I think this past election should have been a wake-up call for Democrats in office, period, regardless of whether or not they identify as centrist or liberal Democrats. The reality is, working class Americans feel abandoned by the Democratic Party, and now they feel like they're better represented by Republicans. That should tell you something, right? And look, the only reason why they feel like they're better represented by Republicans is because you had someone like Donald Trump pretending like he cared about the economic issues that a lot of working class Americans are dealing with right now.
There was
only one person outside of Bernie Sanders. I'm just talking about the general election. Only one person, and that was Donald Trump, who focused on the issue of jobs, bringing them back to the United States, wages, things like that. I mean, was he actually being genuine or sincere? Does he actually care about those issues? No, he's already proven that he doesn't care about it. But again, Democrats don't focus on that enough, and their actions go completely against what they claim they want to do, which is take care of the working class and the middle class.
So look, Trump lied about it, but at least he was savvy enough to lie. He said not only that he was going to do infrastructure and create jobs. Hey, Democrats, why don't you try that, you idiots? You're supposed to be the party of creating jobs. Why don't you say, hey, we're going to do infrastructure, and we're not going to privatize your roads. We're not going to make you pay tolls for the rest of your life. We're actually going to do the thing that he promised in the campaign, but we're actually going to do. Secondly, he said he would raise taxes on the rich. We forget that. He said he was going to take away the loophole that hedge funds had and private equity had. Another grotesque lie, but at least he was smart enough to lie about it. And Democrats are like, oh, no, no. We got to protect our boys on Wall Street. Oh, hey, you know what? More money in politics is fantastic. And how could you say we did something for Wall Street? What? This is what you're doing. And Blue Dog Democrats, you told us it was the practical thing to do. You had about 4 dozen Blue Dog Democrats in the House. You know what happened? They all started to lose. And now you're down to like, what, 18 members? How'd you lose 30 members? You know how you lost them? Because you don't win elections. People hate you. They don't like that you represent your donors. They don't like that you represent the financial industry. They don't like you. What part of this don't you understand? It's not practical to sell out to your donors. It isn't practical. It's a losing, terrible strategy.
And I do want to read a quote from another one of these Democrats, Representative Dan Lipinski from Illinois. He says, centrist Democrats are more focused on doing what can be done to lower the corporate rates and the rates for small businesses.
Small business.
Yeah.
Dan Lipinski, gotta go. He's in Illinois. Gotta go. Gotta go. Look, man, just Democrats are trying to run against these guys. Now, it's not personal. I don't know Lipinski. I don't know these guys. I don't want to know them, right? I just want them out of office because they're doing great damage. Yes, to the Democratic Party, but much more importantly, to progressive ideology and to the country. You got to get them out. Look, I don't even know, to be honest, there's 10 people running as just Democrats. It's not enough. We got to get more money. Otherwise, we should primary every one of these guys. And if we don't do it, somebody else should do it. Because you have Democrats begging to work with Trump to cut taxes, which is against 2/3 of not Democrats, of the entire country's wishes. So whether it's justicedemocrats.com/win, by God help there. But any organization, our revolution, anything to get these guys out, because it is not practical. All it does is lead to disastrous results, and this is what got Trump elected in the first place.
Yep. All right, there's another portion of this that I want to get to, and it involves Joe Manchin. Lots of fun, so let's get to that. Republican lawmakers and White House officials are reaching across the aisle to so-called centrist Democrats in order to get their cooperation in cutting taxes for the top 1%. Now, understandably, there are Democrats in the Senate who are against it, and they have essentially outlined their opposition to any bill that would add to the deficit or cut taxes to the top 1%. They did so in the form of a letter. However, there were three senators who refused to sign that letter. One of those senators was Joe Manchin. Now, Joe Manchin is going to get challenged by Patrick Morrisey. And this is, of course, the Senate election in West Virginia. He is currently the Attorney General in West Virginia, and it seems like he will challenge Manchin in an upcoming election. And so he tweeted about how it seems as though Manchin's not really looking out for the best interests of his constituents. Let's get to that. Morrisey called on Manchin to give up his place in the Senate's Democratic leadership team, to which Manchin was appointed by Minority Leader Chuck Schumer in November of last year. He says that West Virginia could not be more different from Chuck Schumer's New York, and many in West Virginia wonder how you can put West Virginia first when you are beholden to Chuck Schumer and his team. Now, Senator Joe Manchin had an interesting response to this, and so I want to read to you what he said. He says, "I don't give a shit, you understand? I just don't give a shit. I don't care if I get elected, don't care if I get defeated. How about that? If they think because I'm up for election that I can be wrangled into voting for shit I don't like and can't explain, they're all crazy."
Okay, that sounds like fun, tough guy talk, and I'll, I guess, give him credit for that.
He gives a shit.
Yeah, but it's of course not remotely true. If you really didn't care, then you wouldn't be a senator. I like the reference to "Cash Me Outside." How about that? Okay, now let's get to the criticism. So, first of all, understand what Joe Manchin is saying by not signing that letter. He's saying, "I don't care if it's revenue neutral. All that time when I said I was a centrist Democrat because I cared about balanced budgets and fiscal responsibility. Just kidding. I just wanted tax cuts for the rich. That's all I wanted. I don't care if it's tax neutral. I don't care if it creates a giant $1 trillion, extra $1 trillion deficit on top, or maybe even $7 trillion according to Trump's proposals. Don't care. All I want." Well, that part you're right about. Don't give a shit. I want tax cuts for the rich and giant corporations. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, at least we hear you loud and clear, Joe Manchin. Now, in this case, Patrick Morrisey is the Republican. He thinks he's going to run against Joe Manchin, but I got bad news for him. He's not. He's going to run against Paula Jean Swearengin, who's going to beat Joe Manchin in a Democratic primary. You're tied to the lesser of two evils. You got a Republican who says give tax cuts to giant corporations, and then you got a Democrat, Joe Manchin, who says give giant tax cuts to the corporations. Then vote in primaries. There's a primary opponent in the Democratic race against Manchin. Her name is Paula Jean Swearengin. By the way, she did an AMA on Reddit the other day. One of the top AMAs there was. I think it was even bigger than Bernie Sanders. Okay. Mm-hmm. By the way, PaulaJean2018.com, if you want to go check it out. And she, yes, she's a Justice Democrat candidate. You know why? Because this is exactly what we're talking about. We don't want Democrats who, A, will help Republicans with their top priorities. Then they tell us, "No, but you want those Democrats." No, I don't. I don't want that Democrat in office. I don't want giant tax cuts for the rich. So don't speak for me, because I don't want that. And number two, they say, "No, but you have to be practical. A corporatist has a better chance of winning in West Virginia." What a preposterous point. No, a populist has a much better chance of winning in West Virginia, whether they come from the right or the left. Thank God in this case, Paula Jean's coming from the left, and is a populist that actually cares about the population. So she is not going to say yes to corporate tax cuts. 67% of Americans are for increasing taxes on the rich, not decreasing them. Look into it, okay? So, and if you hear anybody on TV telling that Americans want taxes cut for the rich and for corporations, they are liars or grotesquely ignorant and should be fired from their jobs. If you don't know the facts, then go get another job. So, whether it's justicedemocrats.com/win, PaulaJean2018.com, or any other way that you oppose blue dog Democrats, corporate Democrats, and you ask why? Is it personal? It's not personal. Joe Manchin came on here. We had a lovely conversation. We went back and forth. It's not personal. I don't know the guy at all. I've never met the guy. I never had a beer with him. But if you're going to say, "I'm going to serve multinational corporations and my donors," you got to go. You got to go. PaulaJean2018.com. Am I clear enough? And if you don't like Paula Jean, I hear you, brother. Okay, you don't have to support my candidate, our candidate, whatever, right? Go find a candidate to run against them. But I can't West Virginia is not for multinational corporations. That is a giant myth put out by mainstream media and corporate Democrats and the Republican Party. Don't believe the hype.
All right, let's take another break. When we come back, the Department of Justice seems to support Ohio purging its voter rolls.
If you thought I was angry about the other two stories, wait till you get a load of me on that. You know who does fucking voting fraud? Goddamn Republicans do, on a mass scale. All right, we'll talk about it when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you for the whole show today. Mike Youngblood writes in, Blue Dog Democrats are GOP light wolves in sheep's clothing. Justice Dems got a primary them out of office. Agreed, justicedemocrats.com/win, make that happen. Eric Rooney says, corporate donors, people who walk into fancy restaurants and steal tables of the middle class family who saved all month to eat out. Look, I do want to make a distinction here, guys. Like, let's not fall into the trap of the right wing and classify everybody as in a certain category as bad guys, right? So if they are a politician, they're donors to politicians, and they're manipulating the tax code to redistribute wealth, then that analogy is exactly right. And he said corporate donors. So Eric, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that's exactly right. It's not that that all the rich folks that come in and eat nice steak restaurants at nice steak restaurants, we don't care. That's not our problem. As long as, like I've said this a million times on the show, there's no need to be angry at your local dentist or Oprah or even at Bill Gates, and some of you disagree with that, but I think so. I think they're trying to do the right thing with their charity. Maybe they're not doing it 100% right, but they're giving away a great majority of their money, okay? So that I'm in favor of. But if you start giving money into politics and to try to basically legally bribe those guys, no, we're not going to accept that. So Ray for Madness says, Dems hate progressives more than they hate the GOP.
That's definitely true.
Believe me, brother.
Believe me.
Yeah, they attack us in ways they never touch the Republicans.
They don't like us.
Yeah, when it's progressives, they will go dirty immediately. Oh, you sexist, racist. Wait, you said we're the most liberal people on the in America. We were unrealistically liberal, but now all of a sudden we're racist and sexist. How are the most liberal people racist and sexist? Bullshit, okay? But they're willing to go absolutely, when they go low, we go high, only if they're Republicans, okay? If it's actual progressives, they go lower than low. Anyway, and he says that's a pretty good reason for progressives to withhold their vote. No, Rafer, you don't withhold your vote. You go and primary them, okay? You do more voting, not less voting. So anyway, I appreciate your thought, but the way to do it is primaries, activism and primaries, so that when you get to a general election, you don't have the lesser of two evils. Okay. Update for you guys.
All right. Unfortunate update on the North Korea story. This is somewhat breaking news. North Korea has just indicated that it is seriously considering a strike on Guam, which is a US Pacific territory. And this is in response to Donald Trump's statements indicating that he would use nuclear power against North Korea.
Trump said it'll be fire and fury, the likes of which the world has never seen.
Right.
Now, we have seen nuclear weapons, we use them. So he's apparently saying that we're willing to use nukes again. If he did not intend that, then he's an idiot, because that's clearly what it sounds like to anyone listening. And apparently that's what it sounded like to the North Koreans. Now, you have to remember something. Yes, we have a man-child in office who doesn't know what he's doing, but so do they. Kim Jong-un is the definition of a man-child. He grew up where everybody told him, his dad and his grandfather were gods and kings and didn't have anuses. I'm not kidding. That's a literal propaganda tool from North Korea. Their leaders don't have anuses. So he thinks he's the almighty. He thinks, oh yeah, fire and fury, I'll hit Guam and there won't be any consequences. Remember, he's only 33 years old. And he grew up incredibly spoiled. Oh, I get Dennis Rodman, I get caviar, I get the kind of liquor that I like, I get the women that I like. Everybody else is in concentration camps. So we've got two maniacs in a pissing contest here. So now Kim Jong-un matches with, oh yeah, I'll hit Guam. Hey, moron of morons, what do you think happens if you hit Guam? That's a US territory, that's an attack against us. You think that Trump won't launch missiles? And then we're all screwed. If they hit Guam, we're all, look guys, even if you don't care about North Korean lives, and it's possible, like I said, hundreds of thousands of innocent North Korean might die. You should care about our allies, South Korea and Japan, let alone they might be able to reach us with conventional weaponry, let alone our troops in South Korea,
right.
Let alone our citizens in Guam, okay? But also, if you're a monster and you don't care about any of that because your name is Lindsey Graham or Donald Trump, and you say, well, we fight him over there, who cares, right? How about the world economy? What do you think happens to the world economy if Seoul, South Korea is in flames? What do you think happens to the world economy if Tokyo, Japan is attacked, even with conventional missiles, and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands die? What do you think happens? I'll tell you what happens, a giant global economic collapse. So this is stupidity with no bounds, with two guys who are both incompetent and filled with hubris, spoiled children that don't know what they're doing. There's not much we can do about Kim Jong-un. There is something we can do about our guy. Look, it is now an absolute international emergency. We have to find a way to get Donald Trump out of office. Now, there are no good, easy, convenient ways. Luckily, I think he did a deal with the Russians. I think Robert Mueller is a good investigator and is a good special counsel. But he's got to hurry because now we're on the clock. So if Kim Jong-un is stupid enough, and he certainly might be, to hit Guam, the chain of events has begun and there's no way you could bring it back.
All right.
You think Trump is going to withhold attacking if he hits Guam? There's no way he would do that. Because he would say, oh, well, then it's going to make me look weak. I can't have it. I have to improve my poll numbers. I can't look weak, right? And he has no fucking idea that people are going to die in those countries.
Oh, he has an idea. I don't think he cares.
He's such a bad guy. They're both, oh, Jesus Christ. You want to talk about the lesser of two evils? Wow, boy, are we in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The Supreme Court is likely to hear a case involving the state of Ohio and how the state purged its voter polls, voter rolls, I should say, of 2 million individuals, most of which usually vote Democrat. Now, Ohio is fighting for the right to send notices to any voters who missed two federal elections, inquiring if they have moved, passed away, or become otherwise ineligible to vote. If the voter does not respond and continues to miss federal elections, he or she then would be removed from the voter rolls. Now, under the Obama administration, the Attorney General indicated that they were against the purging of voter rolls in such a manner, especially because it disproportionately impacted people who usually vote for the Democrats. However, things are a little different under Attorney General Jeff Sessions. In fact, the Department of Justice has just switched sides in this voting rights case. Now, let me give you some more details in regard to what Ohio did, just so you have a better sense of how it impacted this past election. Now, over the past 5 years, Ohio has purged nearly 2 million voters from its rolls. Some of those voters were legitimately removed because they either died or left the state. But a 2016 investigation by Reuters found that low-income Black Democratic voters were disproportionately purged. So, another thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the major cities in Ohio were most impacted by this, including Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, where voters have been removed from the rolls in Democratic-leaning neighborhoods at about twice the rate as in Republican neighborhoods. Now, of course, Republicans will argue, well, we're doing this because of voter fraud, but study after study indicates that voter fraud is not an issue. In fact, if you look at anecdotal evidence, whenever there is an instance of voter fraud, it's usually an individual who leans Republican. And so this is obviously an orchestrated attack against Democratic voters, and that is the reason why the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals found those purges to be illegal in September of 2016, siding with the ACLU of Ohio and groups that represent homeless Ohioans and communities of color. So, of course, the state of Ohio has repealed that decision, which is why this case is likely to go to the Supreme Court. But the thing to keep in mind here is that the DOJ under Attorney General Jeff Sessions has completely reversed its opinion on this. They are supportive of Ohio doing what it's doing to its voters.
No career civil rights attorney signed on to the brief, meaning the professionals inside the Justice Department said, no, we do not agree that you should disproportionately hit African Americans, the poor, and Democratic voters for your political purposes. That is not something I, as a civil rights attorney, am going to sign on to. So the Justice Department switched over to becoming the Injustice Department. So is there a valid part of taking some voters off of rolls systematically? Yes, people die, people move. So there is a process by which you do that. But you do that in a way that is proportional and fair.
Yes.
Now, what they're doing here in Ohio is voting fraud, not voter fraud, but voting fraud on a mass scale. They know that they're hitting African Americans and Democrats disproportionately. They know that they're eliminating twice as many, that's a fact. It's an absolute fact. They're eliminating twice as many Democratic voters. Okay, first of all, they think, oh, well, who cares? I want to win. Okay, good. Then you're on the side of voting fraud. You're very, very clear. I don't care that they're real voters. I don't care that they're not dead. I don't care that they didn't move. And I don't care that it hits blacks twice as hard. Now you can say, hey, I don't mean to be racist. I'm just taking away blacks' right to vote because it suits me. Wow, are you not a great person? Well, I didn't know that you were that decent. The effect of your action is, by the way, yes, clearly racist. If you take votes away from blacks and you know you're doing it and you do it at twice the rate because you'd like to win elections, I don't care what your intent is, your actions are clearly fucking racist.
Right. Okay. And by the way, obviously this doesn't just impact African Americans or African American voters in the state. It's essentially every group that typically votes in favor of Democrats who are running in these elections. But look, you got to take everything in context as well. It's not like this is an isolated case in Ohio and, you know, there aren't other instances of Republican lawmakers or Republicans in general attempting to do away with the voting rights of people who typically vote for Democrats. This has been a strategy that's been in the works since the 2012 election, right? Where they wanted to pass these voter ID laws because they claimed, oh, voter fraud is just running rampant. It's not running rampant. Again, study after study indicates that we do not have an issue with voter fraud. But they wanted to pass those voter ID laws. They wanted to make it extremely difficult for students who go to other states to get their education to be able to vote. Because guess what? If you're getting your education in a state that you didn't typically live in, well, then why are you going to go out there and get a driver's license or an ID in that state? It's going to be very difficult for that person to vote, right? That's just another example of people who are being targeted by these ridiculous voter fraud campaigns.
Okay. So if I know Democrats never fight back if it's against Republicans. First of all, let's be clear about a couple of things. So John Kasich is supposed to be the reasonable moderate Republican. He's the governor of Ohio. This is happening under him. So John Kasich, nice racist move. And stop crying about, race baiting. What, I just stripped all these blacks from the ability to vote. Just like we used to do in the civil rights era and Jim Crow era. What, why are you calling me a racist? Oh, my feelings are hurt because you called me a racist. Well, I'm stripping away the rights of African Americans to vote. No, yeah, that's why I'll call you what you are, okay? Second of all, this is cheating. I don't know, you say, okay, I'm not gonna let your voters vote. Okay, that's fucking voting fraud. So, by the way, Democrats, look, I know it's not the right thing to do, so you don't, but you've gotta fight back. You've either gotta call them what they are, and you've gotta fight back in every imaginable way, or find a neighboring Democratic state led by a Democratic governor and go, you know what? Oh, I think you're right about voting fraud. I'm gonna vote, take away Republicans' votes in Republican districts 2-1. Oh, you're white evangelical and you voted for Trump at an 81% clip? Oh man, there's a lot of white evangelicals who died. White evangelicals died too. They also move. We gotta make sure we gotta clean up the rolls. We gotta clean up the voting rolls. That's it. Oh, look at that. I cleaned out twice as many Republicans as Democrats. What a wonderful coincidence. Same fucking move you just did. And then watch them cry and cry and cry. How could you do this? This is unfair. Goddamn right it is. You want to play unfair? Let's play unfair, okay? So every Democratic governor, fuck it. Purge your rolls. Purge them of Republicans. Then don't do it 2-1. Do it 4-1. Make them fucking howl, okay? Until they go, you're right, my bad, you're right, we won't do these voter purges because it's illegal, it is wrong, it is immoral, it is undemocratic, it is un-American, and it has the effect of discriminating against certain populations, and most importantly, it's voting fraud on a mass scale. So, but no, Democrats aren't going to do anything like that, and then they're just going to go, oh golly gee, don't do that, oh gosh. And they're going to do it, and they're going to win elections, not because they actually have more voters, but because they cheated. Are you going to let them get away with it? Not if we have strong Democrats. Can't wait. 4-1. Get rid of all the fucking Republicans. Hey, it's not my idea, it's your idea. You want to keep doing voter purges? Let's do voter purges, okay? It's not my idea. You like it? Hey guys, you know what? I'm so fucking concerned about voter fraud. I think you were right. California, world's 7th largest economy by itself. Oh, man, I hear a lot of Republicans moved recently. Let's look into it. Okay, then we can pass single payer, we can pass anything we want. Two can play at that game. Of course, they won't do anything like that because they are actually weak. Okay.
All right. I want to take a break, and then we'll do the last first hour story.
I told you, if you thought I was angry about the other stories, how long are we going to let them cheat?
They've been cheating for a long time. I mean, not just with what they're doing with the voter rolls, but also with redistricting.
This is rolling back the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
They're doing it right in front of your fucking face. You're going to sit there and take it, or you're going to fight back? All right, we'll be right back.